God made you, and he allows experiences in our life, both good, bad, and sad, and ugly, and great, and blessed, in order to fulfill the purpose of God for our life.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is a new sermon series exploring the life of Paul. Today's message is entitled, The Journey. The Life of Paul, Part 1. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
Well, you know, and I know, that when we mess up big time, it is then an opportunity for Satan to rush in and whisper into our ears that God can no longer use you because of this. And I want you to know, not only is the devil not qualified to dismiss you and discount you, but God himself delights in being able to take those that feel like they've messed up so bad they can never be used and turn the whole thing around and use them for the glory of God. That is the portrait of the life of the Apostle Paul. So here we go. At the very beginning, you need to know this right now, and that is that God has a purpose for our lives before we were born. And again, we're using the Apostle Paul as the profile, but this is life applying for us. God's purposes are in our heart before the world began, before we began. We were already in the mind of God before we were ever conceived in our mother's womb. The Bible is very clear about that. So Saul, as he was, his Roman name, his Jewish name, the Apostle Paul, he was both Roman and Jewish, as you will see. He was born in Tarsus, which is now in the modern day location of Turkey. And so this on this map, you can see where that's at in relation to Israel down here. And the whole, notice that we're talking about from the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul's journey right here. And this very night tonight, this continues to be the focus of all that is happening in the world. People could, they could have major buildings collapse somewhere in China or in Russia, and it'll not get the attention that it does in this area right here. So I'm saying to you that the Apostle Paul, or Saul as he was before he was called Paul, was born in Tarsus. He was born a Roman citizen, and some of these scriptures are not on your paper. You might want to write some of them down. You'll find that he was a Roman citizen by his own declaration in Acts 22, 27. He had the privilege of being able to have his name Paul, his name Saul, his name Saul, most likely because of King Saul, because he is identified a little bit later on in the scripture in the book of Acts and as being from the tribe of Benjamin. So that was the tribe of King Saul. So those names were handed down. But unlike the other apostles, those others that walked with Jesus, that the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13, specifically, it says that those individuals were Peter, James, John, and the like, were all ignorant and unlearned men. But Saul, on the other hand, was highly educated. In fact, he was educated, and you'll find this in the book of Acts, chapter number 5, verse 34, Acts 22, and verse 3. He was educated by the highest authority, Gamaliel. Gamaliel was one of the highest rabbis. In fact, when he, Gamaliel, died and went off the scene, things began to get in an uproar. He was pretty much a lid to keep things in the right kind of thinking during this particular time. And so Saul is being trained up underneath him as his tutor, as his mentor, his rabbi. And as a result of that, the Apostle Paul gets deep theology, of course, having been a Jew and being raised in that atmosphere. You'll find out that he goes back and forth from Tarshish, which was a major city in that particular time, hundreds of thousands of people. It wasn't some little lowlife, small little village somewhere. This was a metropolitan location in the time of Saul. So he's getting the education of society and modern society, but he's also being taught in the city of Jerusalem by Gamaliel. Now, Paul, actually, and we're doing a lot of summarizing and generalities here to get to some of the meat of this, but Paul actually sums up his pre-Christian, pre-conversion life in the book of Philippians that he wrote in Philippians 3, verse 4 through 8. He says, if anyone else thinks he has reasons, now I'm reading this from the NIV, if anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, Paul said, I have more. Why is he saying that? Because he was trained under Gamaliel. He was trained in the modern trades of the day. He was a tent maker, as we'll see here in a few moments, but he was trained in the higher levels of education. And so for someone to depend upon their education and their knowledge, he said, I could have done that even so much more. I could have depended on the flesh and circumcised. Notice in this passage of Scripture, he is identifying everything about his pre-Christian days. Circumcised on the eighth day. So there he is as a Jew. Of the people of Israel, he identifies himself with the Jewish people. Of the tribe of Benjamin. So now we know the lineage and his ancestry. He is a Hebrew of Hebrews, meaning he knows the law to its depth in regard to the law. A Pharisee, he calls himself. In fact, at one point, he calls himself the Pharisee of Pharisees. And so verse 6, he says, as for zeal, he said, I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I'm faultless. He said, I kept the letter of the law. I knew what it meant to keep the law. Verse 7 says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. In the King James, he says, I count it all as dung for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, that's important, because it speaks to us about the dependency of leaning on the arm of the flesh instead of on the Spirit of God. When you've got a man to this level of education, I can assure you no one out here would know the law like the Apostle Paul, and he himself said, I'm not yet apprehended. I'm not going to depend on the arm of the flesh. I'm going to trust in the Spirit of God. Giving you a lot of overview here tonight. So, what does Paul write then in that verse? What is he telling us here? Let me give you the summary. Circumcised on the eighth day, meaning he's a Jew by birth. He's not a proselyte Jew. Hebrew of Hebrews means that both of Paul's parents were both Hebrew by birth, so that his genealogy then traces him all the way back to the legitimacy of his father Abraham. He was a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee, according to Acts 23 and verse number 6, which made him a member of the highest echelon of Jewish individuals in the authority of God's word. So what does he write about himself then in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse, and I want to pick up reading in verse number 13. If you got your Bible, just flip over there and join with me. And again, I'm reading this from the New King James Version here for you. He says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. That is his own words. Now, you're going to see the parallel right here. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, I love this, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, verse 16, to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's us. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. He said, I didn't lean or ask anybody's permission. I knew what God called me to do. Verse 17, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. In other words, he's saying to us right here that he was meticulous about his work for Jesus Christ. As passionate and as zealous as he was for the law as a Pharisee, he was that much more for the cause of Christ. He had no personal relationship with God, but he had a whole lot of religion. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. He had a whole lot of religion, but he had no relationship. He had a whole lot of religion, but he had no relationship. So how was he killing people? He was killing people in the name of religion to please his God, but he had no relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you with me right there? So as Jewish parents, you believe that you were to not only train them, school them in the study of God's word, but also give them a trade. We should pick this up and adopt this today. Otherwise, because in the law of Judaism, if you didn't teach your son a trade or your daughter a trade, then you were setting them up to steal. We should adopt this in the time that we're in right now. I don't know why the fuss over the Ten Commandments. I believe they're pretty good for everybody. So here it is. So what is he doing? Saul is trained in the practical trade of tent making. So he took the finest of the goat hair that was blackened, and he would take it and weave it together and make tent coverings. And he used that trade, and you can see that in Acts 18 and 3. He used that trade, this is important, to help support himself and his associates that he traveled with during the missionary journeys 1, 2, and 3 that he took establishing churches all over that region that I just showed you a few moments ago. Now, that's so vitally important. Listen carefully to me. When God tells you to do something, don't sit around and wait for a pocket full of money before you go ahead and begin to do what God's called you to do. God called me to the mission field, but I can't go till I raise $1 million. Then you might not go. Are you hearing me? God never told Abraham, stay here and let's dig around in the gold and then you can be able to go and take. He said, get up and go to a place that I will tell you, and when you arrive, I'll tell you you arrived there. Now, why does he do that? Because God wants us walking by faith and not by sight. If you can pay for it out of your pocket, that's not faith. If you can do it out of your own knowledge, that's not faith. But when you'll weep and cry in the middle of the night and say, God, I need your help. If you don't help me, I'm not going to be able to figure this out, much like I was doing early this morning. Okay, I'm telling you. I was on my face early this morning and said, God, and I don't talk these and thous when I talk to God at 5 o'clock in the morning. All right? I just talk real plain. God, here is 1, 2, 3, 8, 12. Here's the 15 things that's I promise you, the top of my list here this morning, and I'm needing some help here because I don't know what to do here. I need your help here. I don't know what this is going to do over here. I know I'm just talking for myself up here. But I'm telling you, my dear friends, if everything is in our hands, no need for faith. If Paul teaches us anything, he teaches us how to walk by faith by his own and support himself as he went. Not everything's going to be perfect. You might actually have to, I don't want to cuss. This is a four-letter word. I warn you. It's called work. Are you hearing me? So God, now here, why am I saying that to you? Because many of you have studied Paul, you've heard the stories of Paul and so forth, and we're going to walk through this over the next several weeks, but God began actually preparing Paul for his life's purpose of what he was going to do and be when he actually chose his parents to be his parents. And God set things in motion in a chain of events and in the experiences that the Apostle Paul was going to be doing for a purpose and for a reason. Now, sometimes we look at it and we say, I don't see how in the world God's going to use this. And you know, I was this as a child and this happened to me and that happened to me. But either we believe the word of God or not. Either we believe Romans 8 and 28 that God works all things together for our good and he can take the bad experiences of our life and mix it together and bring benefit and life into people who otherwise would never even know. And you know and I know that the best person to talk to you about whatever problem you're going through right now is the one who has already gone through it and survived that storm.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.